One of God's main attributes is also one of the characteristics we understand the least about Him. What is it? Well, here's Skip Heitzig.
The Bible talks about God's holiness more than any other attribute. And so because the Bible puts an emphasis on God's holiness, we too must emphasize it. And lest you think that holiness is just Old Testament business and not New Testament business, we know that our Lord Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name." We're to recognize God's holiness.
Make the connection.
Holiness isn't a word that's used in very positive ways anymore. We're often concerned about whether we're behaving too holier-than-thou, or we might refer to someone we think of as a goody-two-shoes as "your holiness." However, that term isn't one that should be used in any sort of derogatory manner, because as we'll learn today, it's one of the defining characteristics of God. And Skip Heitzig will begin our study today on the connection in just a moment. But first, here's how you can help us share the good news of God's holiness with people all over the world.
Did you feel that? It's the world of technology shifting under our feet. Media delivery and communication is moving so fast, it seems like a landslide. Let's remember, the World Wide Web was not a major consumer factor in 1990. Now, we have screenagers who have never known life without Google. Our language has changed to include words like blog and phrases like "I'll Facebook you." It's changed entertainment with digital streaming of films on demand or opportunities to find 15 minutes of fame on YouTube. It's also changing evangelism by giving us opportunities to reach more people in more parts of the world than ever before. Let's remember, the Bible says all things were created for God's glory. So just as the Roman roads were really built not for legions, but for Paul's feet, the web's highest use is for the gospel and Bible teaching. At The Connection, we strive to stay on top of tech trends and use them to the max for our ministry. You can help as a member of the Global Connectors. With your monthly contribution, you'll make it possible for even more people in more countries to hear biblical teaching on the internet, to get digital and online resources to help people study the Bible, and for more people to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Plus, each month, we'll send you a little thank you gift. This month, you'll receive a teaching from Skip Heitzig called "You're on a Mission from God."
So you've seen that bumper sticker, "I'd rather be fishing"? God would rather have you be fishing too, but fishing for souls, fishing for men.
The Connection continues to find new ways to use technology to spread God's word around the world. And you can help make that happen as a Global Connector. Find out how you can sign up today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
You know, it doesn't take much to be a Global Connector, but it does have a huge impact. In fact, it might just change the destiny of one person's life for all eternity, all because you are willing to help. Give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 to join today. And also get ready to learn why holiness isn't something we should mock or feel like it's too good for us to aspire to. Truth is, it's God's greatest attribute, and one we desperately need ourselves if we're to have a relationship with Him. Stay tuned to find out more here on The Connection.
And make the
If you'll open your Bible to the book of Leviticus, Skip Heitzig begins our study by suggesting something about holiness that most of you probably haven't thought of.
Now, in the book of Leviticus, we've been studying a very important word, the word holiness. We've sung about it tonight. Our call to worship hinted at it tonight. Holiness. You know, God's holiness is probably his least attractive attribute. I'm speaking generally of most people who view God. Most people would say God's love is his most attractive attribute, or God's creative nature, or God's ultimate control, power, or the fact that he knows everything. But most people wouldn't pick God's holiness as his most attractive or even most important character. And yet, the Bible talks about God's holiness more than any other attribute. And so because the Bible puts an emphasis on God's holiness, we too must emphasize it. And lest you think that holiness is just Old Testament business and not New Testament business, we know that our Lord Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name." We're to recognize God's holiness. Also, holy is the main description for the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit. You notice in the Bible, he's not called the loving Spirit, though he certainly is loving. He's not called the powerful Spirit, though certainly he is very powerful. But he is called by his primary character, and that is the Holy Spirit. So we find a correlation between who God is and who God wants his people to be. God will say, as we'll read it, "Be holy, for I am holy." And here's the point. We can't pick and choose which attributes of God we like and then toss out the rest. We take the whole package as God reveals himself to us. Okay, quick review. We saw in Genesis the foundations, the foundation of everything. We looked at four great events, if you remember: the formation of the universe, the fall of man, the flood that was universal, and the fallout due to sin. The second week, we looked at four great people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Four of you were here and remember that. That's great. Then we got the third week into the book of Exodus, and for 2 weeks, we looked at redemption and revelation. So we have the foundations in Genesis, we have redemption in the book of Exodus, and in this book of Leviticus, we have separation. I want to take you to chapter 19, verse 1, even though we're studying chapters 18. I'm going to kind of jump around just a little bit, get started on this foot. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy.'" Now, the basic idea of being holy is to be set apart, or you might say to be different or for special use. You may recall back in Exodus chapter 40, there were several things God said, those things are holy. There was an altar. They were to dedicate the altar. It's holy. In other words, you're not to use that altar for anything else. You can't barbecue hamburgers on the weekends on that altar. That has a holy, special, set apart, different use, totally for my worship and my sacrifices. The basin for washing, the same thing. The utensils for the priesthood, the same thing. The garments that they wore, all of them were dedicated and they were called holy. It's not that anything changed in the intrinsic nature of those items once they were dedicated or consecrated to the Lord. It's just that God said, "I want them for special use." Now, we do that at home, and I brought this item tonight to show you. This is our teapot. It's not a fancy teapot. We've had it a long time. It sits on our stove like 24/7. It's a holy teapot because it is set apart for one purpose and one purpose only: tea. We have a coffee maker, we have a French press, but we don't do any coffee or anything at all because this is holy. It is simply meaning it is set apart for special use. We use it for tea, and my wife loves tea. She's kind of gotten into lattes lately, but she really loves tea. So that's set apart for that use in particular. The best word to apply to yourself when you say, "Well, what does it mean that God wants me to be a holy man or a holy woman or a holy teenager?" Now, I know some of you parents are saying, that's like an oxymoron, holy teenager. Not so. You know what it means? Be different. Be different. The ultimate nonconformist to this society, this culture, is a holy person. I will guarantee you, if you decide to be holy, dedicated, consecrated to God, you're not going to have much competition. Because there's not a whole lot of people out there in this world vying for that position at all. So you want to be a true revolutionary, counterculture person, nonconformist, be holy, different, set apart for God. Now, when you think of holiness, and I want to firmly fix this in your mind, the idea in separating or being different is to turn from and turn to. You've all heard the word repent or repentance. It simply means to change your mind or to turn around, but it implies something. It implies turning from something, i.e. sin, bad behavior, all that junk from your past, and turning to God. That's the idea of holiness, to be kadosh, kodesh, holy, different, set apart. Hagios in the New Testament, saint, same word. I'm turning from and I'm turning to. Sometimes people say, well, I'm going to stop doing all the bad things that I've done in the past. Well, that's not enough. You have to not just turn from something, you have to turn to Christ. And then some people will say, on the other hand, well, I'm going to turn to Christ and give him my life. That's great, but you need to turn from sin and to Christ. It's a package deal. And all of that is holiness. Well, last week we saw the way to God through sacrifice. And you remember those five offerings in the first, really, seven chapters of Leviticus. The burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. The first three were voluntary. The second two, compulsory. The burnt offering was a total consumption of that animal, voluntarily thanking God for what he had done. And it really was the consecration of one's self to God. It's the equivalent of Romans chapter 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The meal offering or the grain offering, the second one, was the dedication of my service to God. Since I had to make it before I presented it, it involved my own labor and my own effort, and I was saying, God, I want to serve you. The peace offering was the celebration of salvation, because the priest ate some of it was burned, and the worshiper ate some as well, sort of like a holy barbecue, as we mentioned. They were out there sharing that fellowship together. So the first part of Leviticus, the way to God through sacrifice. Now this second half of Leviticus is a walk with God through sanctification or holiness or being different. So the way to God through sacrifice, and now a walk with God through sanctification. Now, I'm going to outline it for you this way. I'm going to give you five ways Israel was called by God to be different. And that'll consume our evening. Five ways God wants his people to be different. The difference is to be seen morally in their moral conduct. The difference is to be seen organizationally as they organize for worship services, the priesthood, the high priest. The difference is also to be seen devotionally as they go through all of the offerings and rituals. Fourth, the difference is to be seen corporately in the entire community. And then fifth and finally, the difference is to be seen voluntarily. And that's where we'll end the book. So chapters 18 through 20 is God says, I want you to be holy, different, set apart, morally. And so for the next couple of chapters, the Ten Commandments are applied to different life issues. It's the nitty-gritty of holiness. It's where the rubber meets the road, the details of morality. It deals with all sorts of sexual activity. Look at verse 1 of chapter 18. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. Did you notice that? Moses, here's a message. Go tell the people this. I'm God. Now, why does he begin this way? And by the way, that's a phrase 42 times recurs in this book. 42 times God says, I'm the Lord your God. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. Simply for this reason. This is the authority that stands behind the instructions. Well, why should I do it? Because I'm the Lord your God. That's why. Now, God gave us his laws, and every now and then somebody will come along and say, I don't like God's laws. They don't agree with my perception of reality. Answer to that, tough toast. Big whoop. And here's why. When you can create your own universe with a set of planets, your own air to breathe, your own dirt to walk on, and have planets revolve and have a 79% oxygen to 20-some percent nitrogen, 1% of varying gases in your own atmosphere that you've created, then we'll talk about it. Until then, you're on his real estate, walking his earth, breathing his air, and he says, here's my laws in every aspect, even morally, because I am the Lord. Verse 3, according to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Now, in these chapters, there's a list of pretty disgusting sins: incest, homosexuality, bestiality, all of which were practiced, oddly enough, by both the Egyptians in some cases and some Canaanites. Now, we say we live in the sexual revolution. Yeah, we're really in the revolution. All of the stuff that's going on today is as old as the hills and twice as dusty. It's been going on a long time, and I'm sure all the Canaanites thought they were the first to come up with it. It goes all the way back. Christians are to be different in all areas of their lives, and certainly in the moral areas. Think about it this way. If the Holy Spirit is living in you, is he? Then what is going to happen is you're going to become more and more holy. And that's going to turn out in every area of your life, from the dining room to the boardroom to the bedroom. Holiness. Now, unfortunately, we live in a culture that is bombarding us with messages and filth. And most of the filth that we have to contend with comes from two states over, in a little town called Hollywood, California. And all of its environs around that area have pumped out throughout the world pornography. Did you know that in 2006, the revenues generated from pornography was more than all of the revenues from the NBA, the NFL, and Major League Baseball combined? They are a huge money-making outfit, $13.3 billion per year. And it goes into movies, and it goes into our homes, and we become desensitized to it. One research study says the average person views 9,230 sex acts or implied sex acts every year on television. 81% of those are outside the bonds of marriage. From age 8 to 18 years of age, 93,000 scenes or implied scenes will be picked up by the average person. 72,900 are pre- or extramarital sexual relationships. Now, Hollywood has an agenda, folks. Here's the message Hollywood wants you to know. Everybody's doing it. It's okay. These are perfectly okay as long as you feel good about it. And to coin Stephen Stills, if you're not with the one you love, then love the one you're with. As long as you both feel good about it. That's the message they have. Verse 19. And you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is in her customary impurity. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. Please understand that what God is doing is putting a fence, a hedge around the family. He's trying to protect married couples, marriage, and the family. Why? Because otherwise the family can disintegrate. It's the basic core of society. If the family is destroyed, the nation will be destroyed. History has shown us that over and over again. Now, adultery is mentioned here in verse 20. You shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. It is fashionable today, although people usually don't say, yes, I want you to know that I'm committing adultery. They will usually say, I'm having an affair. That's the new term. It's been around a while, but it's, I'm having an affair. It sounds so much nicer than, I'm living in sin, committing adultery. But one poll estimates that one-third of all married Americans have had or are now having currently an affair. One-third of married Americans have either had or are currently having an affair. You say, oh, Skip, that can't be the average. That has to be maybe Hollywood. Yeah, maybe Hollyweird. They're out weird out there. Or maybe New York City. No, it's the national average. More than that, 62% think there's nothing morally wrong with it at all. It might be fashionable, but it's fatal. It's fatal. That's why God gives these laws. Hollywood tells you lies, ladies and gentlemen. They tell you lies. Every time they portray it, it's so satisfying. It looks so good. They don't tell you the truth. Here's the truth. Number one, it will hurt you. It will hurt you. Proverbs chapter 6 says, whoever commits adultery destroys himself. It can destroy you physically, for one. You can get a sexually transmitted disease. You could even get AIDS and die pretty quickly, even though there's these drugs that stay that for a while. It'll hurt you emotionally, and it'll certainly hurt you spiritually. Secondly, it'll hurt your family. The trust is broken between you and your family once that sin is committed in the family. The oneness bond, where two become one flesh, is broken. Third, it hurts other people besides you and your family. Yeah, the Bible says that actually it hurts, if you're a Christian, the entire church. If one member of the body suffers, we all suffer together. Here's the bottom line. Every disobedient Christian weakens the body of Christ, whereas every obedient Christian strengthens the body of Christ.
You know, it's far too easy to write off what much of the Old Testament has to say as being outdated and religious thinking. However, when we realize that although these practices may no longer be necessary under the new covenant of Christ, they still have good principles for us to learn from, our relationship with God will only grow deeper and richer. And that's all the time we have for today's study. But before we go, if you'd like to learn how to study the Bible for yourself, here's a few resources to help you do that.
It's an ancient text full of power and mysteries, and its words have helped shape the course of history and change the lives of millions of people all over the world. It grants the power to peer through the fog of time into the future and lends perspective to how history has been shaped to influence the lives of each and every one of us.
It's the Bible, the best-selling book that many people have never read, let alone studied. At The Connection, we want to help change that. This month, as we begin the journey of the Bible from 30,000 feet, we want you to have some excellent and helpful study tools. We have the Connection Study Kit that includes Skip's book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, and the compact versions of the Nelson Bible Dictionary and the New Strong's Concordance. These helpful tools will help you get the most out of your time of Bible study. Get all three books for yourself or a friend for just $30 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. The Bible has the most powerful words ever put to paper, and getting the most of studying them takes time, tools, and instruction. Order the Connection Study Kit and get Skip's book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, along with the compact versions, Nelson's Bible Dictionary, and the New Strong's Concordance for just $30 when you call The Connection at 1-800-922-1888.
I'd also like to remind you that if all you'd like to do is get a copy of today's message, we'd be happy to send that to you for just $6, including shipping, when you contact us at 1-800-922-1888. Or if you'd like more resources from our current series, just visit BibleFrom30K.org. That's BibleFrom30K.org. And you can also write us at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
On our next program, we'll conclude our study in the book of Leviticus, and then it's on to the next book of the Bible. I hope you're keeping up as we continue through the Bible from 30,000 feet. On The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.